time in Hala, maybe the Shurim are here, and Kol HaKadosh HaZeh. It's exciting to be Zoich to be here again, and to share some time with you, and to share some achshavas that I was Zoich to put together on the way here on the plane. You know, it's a 10-hour trip without a telephone ringing. What a machaya. Normally I can't work, 7 hours straight without a telephone ringing. I slept about 3 hours. But this is built based mainly on a machshava from Rabbi Yisrael Chaim Schlesinger of Muncie, Rebbe Talmud Chacham. And it's a chiddush that I wish I would have known many years ago. Sometimes when I hear chiddushim or see chiddushim in Svarim, I think to myself, what a shame that I never thought of this question. You know, because if you analyze psukim, you'll hear some psukim in Chumash that you've learned already. And some of the chiddushim, we don't realize that we miss something in the pasuk. Or even this simple thing what we're going to discuss today is the idea of mazel adur dogi. It sounds almost like it's something not worthwhile to discuss until we'll hear what we wrote about the Mutamiliyahu says about this and other svarim. But on many of the printed signs in the svarim stores for Mishinichlis Ador Marvin Besimcho, there is always mazel adur dogi. What did it have to do with our simcha? What's the simcha that fish bring to us? What is that simcha? And what is Marvin B'Simcha? So let's just discuss that simcha is not what the pictures show. Somebody dancing up and down with a wine bottle in one hand and an empty glass in the other. And because he's inebriated, he's in a good mood. Maybe you want to use this chair. There's still a chair here. No? Simcha is that's joy, that's ecstasy, that's temporary. It's like a chasana. A chasana is a 5-hour party. It may cost tens of thousands of dollars, and then it's just a memory. The next morning, it's not. No one's dancing the same way anymore. A vart, simchas Torah is beautiful. It's great, but when it's over, you remember. The next day, I say that was a beautiful simchas Torah. That was terrific. Simcha is a state of being. A person is happy, he's happy 24 hours a day. And even if chas v'sholem, he has a tzara. So there's a tzara at that time. And he's dealing with it. But personally, he's a happy person. He feels life is good. He's living a good life. He's doing good things. When a person lives the right way, they are b'simcha. If a person feels he's doing his best and that's all that is asked of him, he'll be b'simcha. A lot of our simcha is because we either wish we would be doing what somebody else does. We wish we'd be on their level in learning or their level in wealth or whatever else it is. We don't credit ourselves that we're doing our best with our life. We're davening our best, learning our best, doing best in chesed, whatever we're doing. At that moment, we're doing our best. I saw a fantastic story from Rabbi Avraham Tversky in one of his pocketbooks called Rebbes and Chassidim, what they said and what they meant. I think it's story number 12, if you want to look it up. I think so. He says there that Lukotska had a chosid who had gone to a different Rebbe. I think it may have been Rebbe of Peshitsko or somebody else, a different Rebbe. And Lukotska asked this chosid, what was the most important thing that Rebbe did in his day? And the chosid answered, whatever he was doing at that moment. You hear the depth of that? Whatever he was doing at that moment was the most important thing he did in his day. He totally concentrated on what he was doing at that moment. And it's a tremendous lesson. It's the most important lesson I learned in 2 years of classes that Torah Mesorah gave for people who were preparing to be mechanchim. I took 2 years of classes when I was a bocher in preparation to go into chinuch. The most important lesson of those 2 years was from Rabbi Yoel Kramer. He was then the Menahal of Prospect Park Yeshiva for girls. And he taught us that when you put your hand on the handle of that door before you go into the classroom, you leave all your problems outside the door. When you come into that room, there is no family. There is no anything, no business, no bills. It's you and those Talmidim. I promise you, he said, when you leave that room, no one took away your problems. They're going to wait for you. You can pick them up and take them back with you to your car. But when you're in that room, and I said to myself, So as a Rebbe, I try to do that. No matter what's going on in my life, it's out the door. Right now, I'm a bocher. Like I am right now. Since I'm talking to you, it's just like me and you, and that's it, whatever's going on. The truth is that this trip is shorter than any other trip I made, Kemat, to Eretz Yisrael, because my father, Shefer Shalem, is not well. I postponed it and postponed it and postponed it until it's almost the end of this month here, and therefore I came anyhow for a few days, but not over a Shabbos for that reason. But when I walk into any of these rooms, I even put that out of my mind, basically, because that's the only way to concentrate on what we're doing right now. And I realized, hey, I can do this by Shmoyne Esrei. I could do this when I'm doing Machavrusa. I could just say there's nothing else existing right now but Machavrusa. I'm sitting here anyhow by this table. Why do I have to think about 10 other things? Right now it's this Gemara, or right now it's this Shmoyne Esrei. And I told it to my Talmidim every year. So whatever he was doing at that moment was the most important thing that he was doing. And if we can possibly work on living like that, we will be in a state of Simcha. So the Gemara, I believe, in Tainus means, the Gemara that says, Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha. The same way when Av comes in. So we lessen our Simcha. What I believe that means is, for a person that lives well is in a state of Simcha, life is good. No, life is not exactly good. There's no Beis HaMikdash. You can't tell yourself life is perfectly good, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. When I come here, usually I try to make sure I go to the kosel the first time when you rise Kriya, not Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. Because until Mashiach comes, when I come to the kosel and I see that the Dar HaBayis is still not with the Beis HaMikdash on it, I want to tear my shirt. I usually have to ask the soldier to help me out. He doesn't let you take a scissor beyond that point, so I have to leave it there. But then, or cut it a little bit before you go. But you have to be reminded when Av comes in Mat B'Simcha. Simcha is a state of being, and you're supposed to be happy, but a little bit less. Because you're thinking of the churban once Av comes in. So even with our satisfaction with life, something's missing. Mishilmas Ador, Marbin B'Simcha. We're marbin in that same Simcha. That now we could add to the Simcha, because with Rosh Chodesh Ador starts the climb up to Geula. We can hear already the bells of Mashiach coming once Ador comes in. Once the Adar, which means Odur, the month, the parashiyos of the Mishkan, are usually read this time of year. When the Eibush is telling us, I want to live with you. I want to come back. I want to live with you. Adar is Lashon of Odur. It's one of the Pshotim in the name of the month. Because Rebbe wants to come live among us. So we have a month of Tshuva Me'ahava, a month of finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Teva. That's Adar. It is Hastorah. The whole Megillah, 9-year story of Hastorah. Then we come to Nisan Geluyim. Ki Beit Seischa Mei Eretz Mitzrayim Ha'enu Neflois. And we're living in such a door. Mamish like Ki Beit Seischa. The same way V'chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael Mei Eretz Mitzrayim. We only went 1/5 of us. We're Zoichet to the Geula. We're living in a generation where only maybe 20% of Klal Yisrael knows about Torah, knows about Shabbos, knows what Geula is. Waits for Mashiach. The chiluk will be, I believe, that in by the Geula of Mitzrayim, Nebuchadnezzar 4/5 didn't leave the Golos. I think in our dur, all 100% will leave the Golos and come back to Eretz Yisrael to join all of you, Be'ezer Hashem, and Yerushalayim HaKodesh. I think everybody will come, because there was a different story. It was Yidden who knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and chose to stay in Golos because it was very comfortable in Golos. But the 80% today who don't know, they don't know anything. They don't know what it means to be a Jew. They don't know what it means, Geula. They don't know what Shabbos is. They have no hasog in the world of what's going on. So that's part of the Kaddish Tefillah. B'chayechoyim uv'yoyim echoyim. In your days, in your lifetime and in your days, uv'chaye d'chol beis Yisrael. We mispallel that every single place where there are Yidden, Mashiach should come, we scream amen to that bakosha. But the Maisa is Kimet Zeischo. It is such a time that only 1/5 of Yidden are Mavakesh, the Geula. I wait for the Geula. So, Marbin B'Simcha. The same way when Av, Kishen, just like when Av comes in, the state of being of happiness should be a little bit less. Because there's something marring my joy. Something's missing in my life. It's not really complete. The same way now we should add, put back that Simcha. Because hopefully, there'll be a big Vanahapachu, a big turnaround. So I'd like to share with you, with this union of Mazel Odre Dogim, to a little bit of what we can do that will help us to this Simcha, to this state of happiness, of being of feeling our life is good. So we'll start with the Marsho and Sanhedrin that's brought down in various circumstances, Levi, and Tzadik brings it down about why, what's the reason that when we want to, the Chachomim, Beit HaTakone, in order that the Yom Tovim should come out the right time of year, Pesach has to be a Chag HaOviv, it has to be in the spring. So we join the lunar calendar with the solar calendar by being Mavir a Chodesh, adding an extra Chodesh, we have an Ibru Chodesh. Why is it Adar? Why isn't it Kislev? If you have twice Hanukkah, wouldn't that be great? You'd have extra days off. Two Hanukkahs, 8 days in every month, two Kislevs. Or better yet, two Nisos. So that might be bad. The first one's going to be Pesach, it's going to be too cold. Okay, that might not be a good idea. You can't do it, although it wouldn't be bad to have a Seder twice. In case the first one didn't come out so good, you have a second chance. Like the people of Klus Loretz. You know, if they fall asleep at the first Seder, they'd be awake for the second Seder. A different month should be Me'ubar. Why Adar? So the Marsha says, every Chodesh corresponds to one of the Shvatim. And Chodesh Adar, whose mazel is Dogin, is the month of Yosef, whose bracha was Dogin. Because Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef's children the bracha of Yidgul Aroiv Bekerev Oretz. And then he gave Yosef the bracha, Bein Poyros Yosef, Bein Poyros Aleoyin. And what does Rashi say about Dogin? Kashem Sheporin Virobin, the same way they multiply, they have, they're fruitful. Ve'ein ayin ro'a sheletes bohem, and no ayin hara ever rules on Dogin. They're fruitful more than anything else. They have so many eggs at one time. And there's no ayin hara on fish. So too, Yosef, who was zoicha to the bracha of being mafra and marba, ben poyrus Yosef, there's no ayin hara shoylet on him. So he relates to the mazel of Dogin, and he had two children. He was zoicha to give birth to two shvatim Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. So therefore, his chodesh should become two, because he became two. He was v'hu roye even Yisrael. So Rashi, Yosef was av ubein. He was one of the avos because he had two shvatim. He was one of the bonim because he was the son of Yaakov Avinu. He was av ubein. So his shevet is the one that should be zoicha to be fruitful and be two without ayin hara. His shevet, which and therefore his chodesh is the one that becomes two, and they have two times Adar. That's the svara. Where did his bracha come from? Alei oyin. He was above Ayin Hara because he was in control of his eyes. That's why he was above Ayin Hara. Since he wouldn't look at Potiphar's wife, that was the first time he was Alei Oyin, he was above the eye. There's a medrash in Pashas Vayeshev that tells us that Potiphar's wife, she changed her clothing twice a day for a full year. Didn't wear the same dress. She wore almost over 700 dresses that year. Each one different than the other, to try and entice him to do an Aveira with her, which she had a noble cheshbon for. She saw in her stargazing that her children were supposed to come from Yosef, and she knew that she had no children of her own, that Osnas, who she was raising, was not her own child. She didn't know it was Dina's child, it was Yosef's niece. He didn't know who she was either when he was in the house, that this was his niece in the house. He didn't know that either. But Lemaisa, She didn't assume that in her stargazing it would mean that her adopted daughter would be Yosef's wife and have children. She thought it meant her had to mean herself. And Yosef said he didn't deny that she's a stargazer who could see truth, but it's an ugly way. This can't be the way what you see in the stars is going to come true. Rebbeinu Bechaya explains, because until the Torah said Eidus, that when a person raises someone else's child, it's mamish their child. How does the Torah say Eidus in Parshas Vayigash? It calls her Osnas Bas Poitifera. When Yosef finds her and marries her, it's a whole story in itself, which I think we discussed in a previous year. So it calls her Bas Poitifera, not Bas Dino. So the Torah says Eidus, that this is called Poitifera's daughter. So now she understands. Oh, this is what my stargazing meant. But still he was Alei Oyin. It says in the matter she took out a sword, a pointed sword, on that final day that when Yosef was put in prison, when she had emptied out the whole house and she thought he would give in, and he wouldn't look at her. And she told him, if you don't open your eyes, I'll blind you with this sword. open your eyes. He said, Hashem, I'm not afraid of you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives eyesight. Go ahead. Want to make me blind? Go ahead. She said, I'll put you in prison. He said, Hashem, atir asurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes people out of prison. You can do what you want. A whole bunch of threats. Each thing is said, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem wants, it won't happen. If Hashem wants, he'll take care of me. He wouldn't open his eyes. Same thing. Yaakov Avinu tells about it. Bonos Tzoado Alei Shur. That the girls were walking along the walls, along with those girls, those princesses who wanted, you have to understand, Rosh Hashanah morning, Yosef was a prisoner in prison. Rosh Hashanah evening, he was already the viceroy to the king, wearing royal clothing. Pare took him out on Rosh Hashanah, he wanted his dream explained, and he became one of the richest men in Mitzrayim, viceroy to the king, well-dressed, handsome fellow, a bachelor. The girls were walking along the wall, throwing trinkets at him to get his attention. He didn't look up. Alei Oyin. He's not looking up. Until, looking at the ground, Osnas's necklace fell to the ground. Her necklace had a piece of parchment in it, her locket. Yaakov Avinu wrote on it that the person wearing this necklace is a child of Yaakov's family. He put it around her neck before they had her sent down to Mitzrayim, which is the whole seaport itself. So he saw his father's handwriting. He picked it up. He said, look at that. There's a Jewish woman in Mitzrayim. There's somebody for me to marry. And he searched her out, and he found, look, that was the girl growing up in the house where he was the servant. And it's his niece. And it's they got married, and she became an Ein B'Yisrael, and he became an Av B'Yisrael, the Ephraim of Menashe, but Alei Oyin. A person that's in control of his eyes deserves that no eye can rule over him. He won't have an eye in horror. So we understand Midah Kenegan Midah. Beautiful. Right? He was in control of his eyes. No eye can control him. No eye can ruin him because they're jealous of him. What does it have to do with fish? Kedogim Elu, like these fish. So in order to understand that, we'll look into the Maaseh Egel a little bit, and then we'll come back and we'll understand what dogim are and what it means to us. The longest pasuk in the Torah is the pasuk where we ask Aaron HaKoyen that we want an egel. It starts by Yar Ha'om Ki Boishesh Moshe. It's the longest pasuk in the Torah. It's 34 words. Klal Yisrael saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed. He tarried. He wasn't coming back. He was late. And we were worried. Our liaison with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has guided us through so many difficulties, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're all aware his parents named him Tovia, which is a beautiful name in itself to be called. Paro's daughter named him Moshe, Ki min hamayim mishisi, who she drew him out of the water. And his name throughout the Torah is Moshe. We don't see Tovia mentioned even once. Why? Because our name is our personality. When a person calls you by your Heilige name, your Yiddish name, it gives you an injection of the koyach that your neshama has. The name is Ruach HaKodesh that parents have of what koyach that neshama needs. I heard from a Moshe Sherer once regarding Yitzchok, where he's named in Parshas Vayero. In the very same parsha, we have Yishmael being banished from the home. Why? He was mitzachek. He was having fun. Zok Rashi, the Medrash says, mitzachek, he was having fun, he was doing terrible averus, and Sarah said, out. The Baron Kotler gives the following hesber in the discussion, because what was Avram Avinu's svara? You want to keep that person around Yitzchak? And Avram says, no, he's my son, I love him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, listen to Sarah. Kol Asher, Toimelecha Sarah Shema B'Koyle. Aaron says, what was the argument? Avram said, Yitzchak is precious, he's so good, he'll never be affected by Yishmael. He'll fight all those influences. He's not going to be affected. I see it. And Sari Meno responded, I agree with you. He won't be affected. But how much effort is he going to have to expend not to be affected? How much effort will that take? He could put all that effort into positive things like learning instead of fighting the Yetzirah that's surrounding him. He's going to be an Av B'Yisrael. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us. Ki B'Yisrael Yikor L'Chazorah. Wouldn't it be preferable he should have all his koyches for positive? And Avram said, at the expense of throwing a child out of the house, when we know that Yitzchak won't be affected anyhow? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, she's right. Sfrek Ramosh Hashem. Look what mitzachek is. Look what the root word tzchoik is. How did they give a name to their child Yitzchok? If that's what tzchoik is. He says, very poshut. Mitzachek is present tense. When a person's having fun on Olam Maaseh, generally, it's something we're not supposed to be doing. You know, the Yiddish of fun is one thing. You know, a Purim Chagiga, a Chasana. But the general fun of the world, as the world calls fun, the entertainment that's available, people do a lot of laughing. A lot of it is jokes that we're not allowed to hear. Or things we're not allowed to see. A lot of the fun. So that's Mitzachek. Fun for right now is usually one of the three things mentioned. His name was Yitzchok. He will laugh. Ozi mole schoik pinu. He who laughs last, laughs best. Klal Yisrael will laugh. We don't laugh as much as everybody else in Golos. We can't sit and watch the screen. And we can't listen to all those things. And we don't laugh as much as the world. But Ozi mole schoik pinu. That's a great name. He was called Yitzchok. Yitzchok. Every time he was called his name, he will laugh. It's not Mitzachek. It's a whole different person. So, the Moshe Rabbeinu was called Moshe because that was really what he did his whole life. Mishisiu, she called him Moshe because she drew him out. He was always drawing us out of trouble. Whatever we got into trouble with, till he sacrificed Mamish's life, im ayin mechenino misifrucha asher kasavti. If you're going to hashram kill Klaishol for the eagle, then erase me from the Torah HaKadosh. Moshe took us out of Mitzrayim. He took care of us by the Yamsuf. In the end, it was in his achus we had the mud and the Anani HaKavod and the water. Well, after Miriam and Aaron were both nifter. He brought everything with his achus. So he was very powerful. His name was Moshe throughout the Torah because he was his main job. He took care of us. He was Toivya. He was always good with the Rabbi Shalom. True. But what did we? But his main work was taking care of us. We need him. And he said, Moshe Ha'ish, says the Pasuk. Moshe the man. The word Ha'ish seems to be superfluous in the Pasuk. We know Moshe's an Ish. We have to understand what that means, Moshe Ha'ish. Moshe the man, Asher Ha'elonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took us up from Mitzrayim, Lo Yadana Me'ahar. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know. We need something. We need a medium between us and Hashem. So what's Moshe Shmosh? What does it mean he came back late? If we analyze the psukim, he never told us when he's coming back. We all know it was 40 days and 40 nights because the Torah says in a different place that Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shemayah 40 days and 40 nights. But if you look at the psukim when he left us in Parshas Mishpatim, in part 2 of Kabbalah Satoira, it says, Vayokam Moshe Yeshua Mishar, Sevayal Moshe El Har Elokim. Moshe and Yeshua got up, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, V'elazakenim Omar. He left a message. He told the Zakenim to tell us. The Zakenim always brought us the message. Shavu lanu bazeh. Wait for us over here. Ad asher noshav aleichem, until we come back. Didn't say when. Why didn't it say when? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu when. The Chizkuni says this pshat. He says Moshe Rabbeinu never told him when he's coming back because he didn't know. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, told Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Eli Hehora v'shev shom ad she'etin l'cho es l'ufes ha'bris. He didn't know it would be Yom Kippur 40 days later. And it became Yom Kippur after that. That's when it became Yom Kippur. Right? He didn't know when. He didn't tell his man, says the Chizkuni. When they saw he didn't come back after 40 days, they had a cheshbon. A person can't live so long. He didn't take a bag of sandwiches with him. He didn't take water bottles with him. He went up without any food. He can't be alive anymore. It's not Shayach. So the Chizkuni says the first two words in the Pasuk, Vayar Ha'am, what did they see in their mind's eye? They saw with their understanding. He can't be alive anymore. Now, according to this Pshat in the Chizkuni, what bothered me is why not 5 days? Why 40 days? Can a person live 40 days without food? What was the cheshbon of 40 days, according to the Chizkuni? So I think that 40. In Klal Yisrael, 40 in Yiddishkeit, 7 is Bria of the Oilam. Everything on this world is 7s. 7 notes in the octave and 7 main bodies of water and 7 days. Until Mashiach comes, everything is 7. In creation of you, of man, everything is 40. Arbo im yoin, koidim yetziras avlad. It takes 40 days till the vlad takes form, till there's a body form in the mother's womb. Therefore, when somebody ruins his body with a chait, that's a lav, he gets 40 malchus. We can have a separate shmooze one day, why is the Chazal said 39? But the Torah says, arboim yakenu, 40, because 40 recreates the man. Everything in creation of man is 40. When a person is tomei, his body isn't the same. He wants to be in a tire. He goes into a mikveh. How many saw? 40 saw. And he goes into a fetal position in the mikveh and then comes up. Because he's a new person. He's a rebirth by going to the mikveh. That's how Giur works, right? Besides the bris milah, there's a tvilo. It's a rebirth, 40. I think maybe that's pshat with the Chizkuni, because it doesn't say why they assume 40 days. 40 days, it's over. 40 is the, maybe that was the cheshbon, that a person could exist. Because 40 is the is life of a person. It's the creation of life. Then he gives, our Chaim HaKodesh has a similar idea, but he said, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Gemara says that after 40 days, the Satan came and showed an apparition in the sky of a bed which was carrying what we assumed was Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Vayarha means they saw the apparition and said, oh, he was Nifter. He didn't bring food, he was Nifter, it didn't work. And that's why they assumed it on the 40th day. So then what's the time on Klal Yisrael about Diego? What was so bad? We were lost. We were used to having Moshe Rabbeinu. He was mamish everything to us. He was our total attachment. Every time we were worried, we were scared, he encouraged us. He was mispalo for us. He took care of us. What was the big time then? So according to Rashi says that, he says clearly in the Gemara on Shabbos, that Moshe Rabbeinu, we see in the later Pesukim describing Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get the Torah, that it was 40 days. In fact, in the Tshuva for the Egel, it's always a period of 40 days. You know, from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur is 40 days. It was a series of 40-day periods that we were recreated with Tshuva as well. So Rashi says that we didn't know about the 40 days. We made a Tosa Cheshbon. So we didn't understand it was made Eis L'Eis, that it was Mamish 40 full days. We assumed, Mixes Yom Kekulayim, that we assumed that part of a day is considered a whole day, and therefore we got frightened after what we thought were the 40 days were over. That was wrong, according to Rashi. Well, the Malbim says, again, similar to the Chizkuni, or the tremendous Spiddish, the Malbim. He says the Possum tells us the story of the Egel in a way to understand that the Chait was lighter than we would think. We shouldn't be so shocked that Klal Yisrael, that they made this mistake. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu left us, and he told us, I'm coming back. 40 days had gone by, and the same Moshe Chizkuni, he didn't take bread or water with him. They thought, it's impossible to live 40 days without bread and water. So Hagam, they believed Moshe Rabbeinu. He wouldn't tell a lie. He said, we're going to come back to you. But they were spiritual people. Yesterday's Yoyim, Yom Shlishi, what do we say in the Yoyim? And the Yom Ma'at, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about us, I said, Hashem Yisroel says, Elokim Atem, you're mamish godly people by Har Sinai. Uvenei Elyoin Kulchem, you're like Malochim, you're like Odom Harishon before the Chet. It was a time of Tikkun Neshama by Kabbalah Santorah, like Adam HaRishon before the Chait. So Hashem Yisbarach said, now I'm going to test you like Adam HaRishon. I sent you a peripheral Yetzer Hara, the Nochosh came to Adam HaRishon. Adam didn't have an internal Yetzer Hara like we are born with. It was peripheral until he ate from the Eitz Hadas, Toi Vera, the fruit of confusion. Of Das Toi Vera, Toi Vera, Toi Vera. If there's a confusion, is it good, is it bad? Shall I leave Seder for this? Is it mitzvah to do this thing? Or is it Naveira? Can somebody else do it or not? Eitz Hadas Toi Vera, a tree of confusion between Toiv and Ra. Until then, the Eibush had tested him with a outside Yetzirah, the Nochosh. So now we were on that level. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to test you with the Yetzirah. Hashem let the Satan outside of us. We didn't have the Yetzirah inside. We were like him. We were like Mamash Bnei Elyon. So Hashem sent that Nochosh back with a form of a bed flying in the sky. And Ochein, Ka'odom Tabus, like Adam Harishai, you're going back to the level of Misu. You failed the test. So he said, we believe Moshe Rabbeinu. But on that level, we thought, of course he's coming back in spirit. We see by Chanoich in Parshas Bereishis, Ve'einenu, he wasn't here. If you look at Mesielakim, his body went up to Shamayim with the Neshama. He became a Malach. So we assume Moshe Rabbeinu became a Malach, and he's going to come back, but we won't see him. We can't talk to him. We need a leader we can talk to. Every one of us who's sitting in this room, to be successful in life, we need a Rebbe. We need a Rebbe. We have questions, we have confusions, we have to be able to ask somebody, what should I do? What does the Torah want me to do? Everybody has a Rebbe. I used to be close to the Skolya Rebbe Zichrono Lebracha. He was Nifter when he was 80 years old, about 30 years ago he was Nifter. When he was 80. And the last year of his life, I was zeichet to go into him before Rosh Hashanah. So I was with my father-in-law, Olav HaSholem. He was telling us how he had davened for the Amud now for 59 years, since he became a Rebbe. His father was Nifter very young. He became Rebbe at the age of 20. So now at the age of 80, for 59 previous years, he davened always Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, called Nidre, Musaf and the Ilah on Yom Kippur. And this year he said he wouldn't be able to daven, he thought, because he was in a wheelchair. And it's not kavod hatzibur to sit by as a bal tefila, as a bechazaras hashatz, it's not covering. So the gabbai came over to him and said, the tzibur decided we want the Rebbe to daven even in the wheelchair. And the ikir, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, of the bal tefila, is merutzu l'kohol, that the people want him. We want you even sitting down. He says, so I went to the Debre Tzinah Rav and to Rabbi Shabik. They were both younger than he was. And I asked them the Shaila. And he was he knew Kultur Kula. He could pass the Shailas. No, he went to ask a different Rebbe what he should do. Everybody has a Rebbe. We need a person, says the Malbim. They said, we understand he's coming back in spirit. He'll never leave us spiritually. He'll never leave us. It's brought down, I think that Rabbi Shabik brings it down. I'm trying to remember what sefer it was in. It's in more than one sefer. That by a Yiddish simcha, that you could say Shah simcha b'ma'oinoi, that it's proper tznius, and you could say simcha b'ma'oinoi, the Yiddish wants to be there. So it says, up to 10 doiros of neshamis come to see that simcha, of ancestors, 10 generations, come to the simcha. And it's one of the reasons you can be mispalel so powerfully by a simcha. There are many, many neshamis there by a Yiddish simcha. So we knew he's coming back. But we thought he was coming back only spiritually. And that's pshat. Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish lo yadanu mehaya. What's the exact lashon? Is it about Kairi sitting here? Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish mehaya loy. Right. We don't know what happened to him. Moshe the man. The neshama we believe is coming right back. But Moshe the man we're missing. The physical man that we could talk to, says the Malbim. That was the problem. The Gashmi is Dika Moshe is not here. So again, what was the big taina then? We really were distressed. What was the big taina? Let's go back to the fish, and then we'll come back to answer what this taina was. So it says about Yosef, he's a fruitful child without ayin hara, like fish that have no ayin hara. Why don't they have an ayin hara? What is this about fishes no ayin hara on them? We'll find fish once again now in the Medrash HaMegillas Esther. Haman, the brilliant Haman, he was brilliant. He knew Jewish history. He knew all about Yiddishkeit. And he was trying to figure out a way to hurt us in a way that we won't be able to be protected. So he made three goyrolois. He made goyrolois on days of the month. He made goyrolois on months of the year and on mazolois. So he went through the mazolois. And I'll only go through a few of them, just out of time. He said, Nisan, the mazel is tleh, a sheep. No. There's a chus of Pesach. Won't be able to hurt them in Nisan. All these Rishon, they were afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't know how to start up with us in a way that would work. Iyar, Shor, Karbonis also. A Shor is a carbon and it's chus of Yosef HaTzadik. Of Yosef, B'chor Shor Hodor Loi. Not a good idea. Elul, Besula. That's also a picture of Klal Yisrael's devotion to Hashem. Like a woman who gets married to her husband for the first time in her life to get married, the psula, she's so devoted to her Baal. No, it's a picture of Klal Yisrael, we know it, Hashem, not good. Kislev, Keshes, it's a picture of Kedushas HaYesoid, of Kedushas Bris Milo. By Yosef it says, Vateshev Be'esan Kashtoy, when Petifar was trying to entice him, he controlled his Yisrael so powerfully. It's called Keshes. that it's referred to as keshes, this the midah of kedushas habris. Nah, it's a big zechus for them. Can't do it in that month. Teves gedi, again, it's a goat. Yaakov, he covered his arms. He knew everything. He covered his arms with a goat skin to get the brachas from Esav. Bad for me. Can't do it that month. Ah, Adar, Dagim. Amar Haman, says the Medrash. Haman said, Adar ain't lo zechus. Adar doesn't have any zechus because Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter in Adar. Right? One of the previous things, we went over the Kehillas Yitzchak on this. The Gemara says in Megillah that Yoda, Haman knew Shebezayim Adar Meis Moshe. He knew that Zayin Adar Moshe died. He said, oh, it's an ominously bad month for Klal Yisrael because Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter in Zayin Adar. He was nifter then. This coming Sunday, right? The Zayin Adar. It's the Yerzet of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, he was nifter. V'lo Yoda, says the Gemara, he didn't know Shebezayim Ba'adar Noilot Moshe. And the Kalash Yitzchak says, why did he didn't know? Look how much he knew. It can't be Poshim Shah in the Gemara. Of course he knew the history of Moshe Rabbeinu. It means he didn't know the significance. He said the death of Moshe Rabbeinu was an end of miracles for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kriyas Yamsuf, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mon, the Anani HaKovet, and the Be'er Shemiriam. Moshe Rabbeinu was nifted with such miracles. After his Matira, there were hardly miracles. Once in a while, a miracle here and there by Yeshua, other people, by Elisha, by Eliyahu Novi, nothing like Moshe Rabbeinu. What didn't he know? He said, I'm not afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. There were no miracles. He was born in the seventh month. It's healthy, it's normal, a seventh month baby lives. Gemara says so. Seventh and ninth are safe months. Eighth is a little bit more dangerous. I have to worry about the eighth. But seventh and ninth are good. His mother hid him for 2 months. That's it. Why not? She had 2 months till the tree would come looking for him. When they came looking, she put him into a basket smeared with tar. It's no miracle. Tar keeps water out of a basket. Bastia Basparit comes down to bathe. She finds him. Not a miracle. Lo Yoda, he didn't know that birth is a miracle. Tar keeping out water is a miracle. Why does tar keep out water? And why doesn't cotton keep out water? Because Hashem said so. It's a miracle. That Bastia should come right then and find him and take him and he should stay alive because she found him and not somebody else. If a mystery found him, they would have killed him, a Jewish child. She found him. It's not a miracle. Coincidence. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't know that Teva is a miracle? You, Haman, will die through Teva. A 9-year story called Megillas Esther with no big miracles. But you put it all together, it's a miracle. All that Teva is Hashgacha Protis. So Haman was brilliant, but a lot of things he didn't know. So Omar Haman said, Adar has no zechus. Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. Umazolei eloi zechus. The mazel of Adar has no zechus. It's a fish. It's two fish. What do two fish do when they're together in the water? One swallows the other one up. Fish eat each other up. One of the ways they feed themselves. He said, Kishem shahadogim boile in ze eze. Fish eat each other up. It's mazel other dogim. They eat each other up. Kachani boilea oisam, I'll swallow them up. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Rasha, dogim, pa'amim, sometimes nivloim, don't forget one of the fish is always swallowed, pa'amim boilim, sometimes they swallow, it's always one doing the other, right? Va'akshav, now says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oisai ha'ish, haman, nivla min ha'boilim, he'll be swallowed up from those who will swallow him up. Amar Rav Chana says, Rav Chana, hadohu dichsiv, that's pshat in the posuk in the Megillah. V'nahapaychu, it was turned upside down. He thought he would swallow the Yidden. So the Eibishter made him the fish that was swallowed up. Asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim heimim b'sonehim. Now, Haman was not a fool. We have proven that pretty well in the last few minutes. Why didn't he think of this? Come on. He thought that he'll swallow us up. Why did he expect he could swallow us up? Slichus on Tainus Esther in 2 weeks. Well, next week, next Thursday. It's Nidche. Slichus on Tainus Esther. In the poem, the Pismin, the last one that we say posuk by posuk. Listen to the words. Noikem l'tzorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge against the oppressors. The noiter lo'ivim, he ambushes our enemies. Halavai, we should see it, b'karev mi'ameinu. Madedes midosom kizodu la'ahuvim. La'ahuvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them mido keneged mido, measure for measure, as they thought to hurt his beloved Klal Yisrael. Loichem, Hashem goes to war against them, and what does he do? Veninov and his fish, huslu mutzlovin kivacharoizes dogim. He hung them up like a fisherman does with his string of fish after he finishes his day. Chorazu techuvim, they were stuck. They were hung up, Haman and his sons, Ninov, all his fish. They were all hung up like a string of fish. Mamish, his mind is about the fish, the Medrash about Haman and the fish. So what was his cheshbon? What is this about fish that there's no ayin hara? And what was Haman's cheshbon that he's going to get us? His cheshbon was very simple. There's another Medrash. Medrash Rabba Perek Zayin on Esther. It's a Medrash that most of us aren't aware of. We all think, we learn Rashi and the Megillah. So Rashi and the Gemara Megillah. If the Gemara speaks clearly, the Gemara of Shimba Yechoi asks Talmidim asks Shimba Yechoi, Rebbe, Alma, why was it that the Yidden of that door were chayiv such destruction? 127 Medinois. So Rabbi Shimba Yechoi said, Imruatem. Right? Then Rebbe put the question back out to the class. Okay, you tell me. What do you think? You're in the Megillah? Think. Right? This is what Rebbe tells Talmidim. So Talmidim said, because they enjoyed the meal of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus made a meal about our goals. He made a cheshbon. Belshazzar, the foolish Belshazzar, made a cheshbon. 70 years were over, and he made a celebration. We didn't get out of Golos, so he thinks we'll be stuck there. Chas v'shalom. So he made a party. He died by that party. Not me, Ahasuerus said. I have the right cheshbon, and the 70 years are now over, and there was no geula. We're going to keep them. So he made a suda Ahasuerus to celebrate that the Yidden didn't get out of Golos, and he took out the Klei Mikdosh. And we went to that party, and Mordechai said we shouldn't go. And we went. That's what they told the Rebbe. That's why. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked them back, if so, the Yidden of Shusha would have the Gezerah on them. Why the whole world? Why the whole world? People from the whole world were invited to the party. But only the Yidden of Shushan went b'chait, because only Mordechai announced not to go. He announced not to go. So they understood you shouldn't go. They're the ones who are responsible. So why? How come the whole world was in the Gzeira? So they asked the Rebbe, Taka, why? So Shemechai said, because we're only here. In Golos, where the Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of himself and said, bow down to it or go into the flames. Only Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah who sacrificed their life. Everybody else bowed down. So this reawakened that chait. Eibishter was looked away from that chait until now, because that he understood. Eibishter said they were afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't mean that there wasn't a Yizara, and they'll do tshuva. They'll be more afraid of me than afraid of a human from now on. They'll do tshuva. But when we show we were more afraid of Achashverosh than Mordechai, so it reawakened that chait. They didn't do tshuva. They didn't do tshuva. They're still more afraid of a human than of me. They're going to the party. You gotta listen to Rabbeinu. The Rebbe said they shouldn't go. And they went. So it reawakened that chait. So it was in the whole world already. On all the Yidden. Not only in Shusha. Oh! So we look in the Medrash though. And that's what Rashi says in the Megillah. Either both reasons are brought down in Rashi. We had Hanoah from Ahasuerus' Suda that was a Suda against us. We had Hanoah. We enjoyed the meal. We enjoyed it. And the second shot is because of Nebuchadnezzar, because of his statue. But the Medrash says a much more serious hate. The Medrash says, Haman said to Ahasuerus the exact same lashon that Bilam said to Balaam. Mamish, the same words are in the Medrash. Elei kehem shel elu soine zimahu. When Bilam couldn't curse us, he said, I'll tell you what, Balak, you want to keep them out of Eretz Yisrael. You want to keep them here so you shouldn't lose your land. You shouldn't die, because when you didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, it's most of a Shiach. You want to keep them here. The Eibishter of these people hates immorality. Bring out the women of Midian and Moav. Get their minds full of immoral thoughts. Get them to sin. They won't match Eretz Yisrael. They'll be stuck out here. They won't go in. I can't curse them. It doesn't work. Hashem doesn't let me. Get them to hurt themselves. And it worked then, Nebuch, for a while. 24,000 Yidden Nebuch died from that. Until Pinchas came and saved our lives. Haman says the same exact lashon in the Medrash. He says to Ahasuerus, you want to take care of these people. Elokim she'elu soinei zimu, he hates immorality. Make a party. Kirtzoin ish for ish, make a kosher stand by the party. But not stam a kosher stand. The best hachsherim, only the badats, and only the, based what the kedem wines, or whatever wines here are the biggest wines, I don't know what's the most charedi wine. Make a kosher stand at your party. And even though it's not an atmosphere for Yidden to be, it's really a goyish atmosphere, but we'll make a kosher stand. And besides the kosher stand, we're going to decree they have to come to the party. And then you bring out, the Lashon HaMedrash says, you bring out bad women, there's a Lashon HaMedrash, and they're going to, they're people with taiva, they're regular human beings, they have taiva, they will sin, and we'll get them. Then I can swallow them up. That was his cheshbon. He was no fool. He know one fish gets swallowed. He said, then I'll be able to swallow them up. After that party, they're mine. So Mordechai heard about this party. He got up, says the Medrash, and he said, you're not allowed to go. Kosher or not, decree or not, don't be afraid of them. Be afraid of Hashem. We can't go to those places. There's a lot of priests there. We're going to be, no matter, even if they didn't announce that part. You know, black tie dinner. Yeah, but some people aren't much more than a black tie. You know, you can't go to these parties. It's a terrible place to go. And people went. The Medrash says a number, I don't know who's made, I wrote it down in a different paper. I think 185,000, it says in the Medrash, went to the party. And it was a terrible decree. How come we don't talk at all about that part? Oh, the Lashon Medrash. It says, Ochlu, they ate, Veshasu, and they drank. When Yishtakru, they became drunk, the Kilkalu, and they sinned. It's also a matter. So why doesn't the Gemara mention it? Why doesn't Rashi mention it on the Megillah? That they sinned with immorality. Isn't that worse? The answer is the Torah is not a storybook. Like by Esav. Remember the parasha of the Birchas Yitzchok? No, the beginning of that parasha. Toldos, when Yaakov bought the Bechayra. So Esav says, oh yeah, he was exhausted. Why? So Rashi brings a Chazal. He did the worst of Averis that day. He was over Gili Arroyos. He was over at Sicho. Torah doesn't say it. Torah says, Vayoichal he ate, Vayesh he drank, Vayokim he got up, Vayelach and he left, Vayives Esav Esabachera, he shamed his birthright. He sold it for a bowl of beans. What do you mean? Tell us that Esav was Mezanin, that Esav was a deep Rosh at the day of his grandfather's Levayah. This is what he did. He murdered somebody. They have grandfather's Levayah. My Rebbe writes in a Sefer, Emunah Sitecho. He writes in Emunah Sitecho, he says, the Torah is not a storybook. The Torah wants us to tell us how to live. The Torah is telling us, how could it be that the son of Rivka and Yitzchak, the enikel of Avram and Sarah, could do such a chet? It wants us to know what the chet came from. Vayives Esav Esabachayim. He didn't appreciate who he was. He embarrassed his birthright. He didn't feel dignified and royal that he comes from such a family. That's why he did the Aveira. The fact that the Aveira is not the Ikur. The Ikur is how he came to that Aveira, like the Gemara and Yuma. Almeh of the Haaretz. What do you mean Almeh of the Haaretz? There was Gili Arroyos. There was Shvichas Dama. But Yidden were doing terrible Aveiras before the Bais Rishon. And the Gemara says, Shalei Varuchu Batayra Tchila. We didn't say Birchas HaTorah before we learned. What do you mean? There were the worst Aveiras going on. How could Yidden get to the worst Aveiros? We have to find out how we got that low. We didn't appreciate learning. It was an intellectual experience, mental gymnastics. Wonderful piece, this Rashba says. I once heard from a gift on one of his tapes. He was aflame because somebody called Rav Shach, Shach, without Rav before his name. Shach! He said, it's like somebody writes Sadia about Rav Sadia Goyim. He says, well, how do you refer to Gedolim like that? A whole drasha. So the Ikar is like Baruch Haba Torah Tchilo. We didn't appreciate. It's an intellectual experience. Sadia said, oh, deep words. No, it's Torah, it's Kedusha. Make a bracha on it. The Chachamah wants us to know, how did we fall to a level of Gili Arroyos? We didn't appreciate the learning. There are many learned Jews who are not following the Torah Kedusha. It's not holy to them. So that's what was going on in the days of so the same way the same way we were mavaza our level. Mordechai said you can't be afraid of Ahasuerus, you should be afraid of Hashem, and it didn't work. So Haman knew, now I can get them. We lowered our level. One is have to do with fish. So there's an unbelievable michta me'aliyah. Tremendous michta me'aliyah. Everyone knows this Gemara in Brachos, where Rabbi Akiva was defying the Roman decree, and he was teaching Torah in public. So he meets Pappas Ben Yehuda. We're coming close to the close. He meets Pappas Ben Yehuda. This is the we'll answer all the questions with this Hesper of the michta me'aliyah. And Papa says to him, what are you doing? You're teaching Torah. Aren't you afraid of the Gzeirah of the Malchus? Let me just find the Lashon exactly. Okay, what is it? Love that. He says, aren't the Gzeirah of the Malchus? So Akiva answers him. And he says, I'll tell you a Moshe what it's like. The wily fox, the clever animal, was walking along the edge of the river. And he sees a school of fish rushing over here, then rushing over there, rushing to a third place. He says to these fish, the fox says to them, where are you running? And they say, where are you running? He's a fisherman. When he throws his net here, we run there. We run there. We're watching his net. We don't want to get caught. So the fox says, why don't you fish come out to me on the dry land like your ancestors did? And you'll be safe next to me like they were. So the fish say to him, you are the chayo. You're the animal about who it says Chochem Shevachayis. You're the wisest of all the animals. Here's the lashon. Atu Shoyim Malacha Pikeach Shevachayis. You're the one they say the smartest one. Lo Pikeach Ata. You're not so smart. Elo Tipish Ata. You're a fool. Like it says about it, Muhammad. Umabim Makom Chiyaseinu. Madach in the place where we live. The water is our habitat. We only can live in water. Over here, Alu Misyarin, we're so scared of dying. Over here, we're scared they're going to catch us. So, B'mokim Misasenu, in the place that we die, on land where we have no breath. So, Allah has come of a kama that the man will be able to catch us. Madach in the water, he can catch us, and we're scared. Kavachimer on the land, he'll be able to catch us. It's not our place of life. So, Akiva is telling Pappas, Madach, while we're learning Torah, we're afraid the Romans might get us. Kavachimer, if we don't learn Torah. Of course they'll be able to get us. Our only possibility is Torah. Torah is our protection. Torah gives us, we live in the Yamshel Torah. What do you want me to stop teaching Torah? Of course the Romans will get us then. Because they said, don't learn, I shouldn't learn. That's Dafka why I have to learn. I can be protected from them. It's Dafka why I should learn. There are many mashal about Shualim being clever and their cleverness doesn't do well for them. There are many mashalim. There's that sour grapes mashal, right? When the fox walked by a vineyard and he saw the beautiful grapes. Oh, I want them. He couldn't get in. There's a brick fence all around, but there was a little break in the brick fence. He was too fat to get in that break. So he starved and starved and starved because he figured that way he'll squeeze through. He finally got through after days of not eating. And he ate those grapes and he wanted to go back home. He couldn't get out. He couldn't fit through. He had to starve and starve and starve again because he tried to get in and get what wasn't his. And then he got out, but he was so weak and he was so distressed. And he turns around and looks back at the grapes and says, sour grapes, lousy grapes. Were the grapes lousy? Or was he silly? The grapes were wonderful. He was silly, trying to get what's not his. And he suffered for it. But it doesn't say he was a tippish. Only over here the fish get to call him a tippish. Why? Says the Michta Me'aliyah. He explains. He says that certainly Haman knew that there's no Ayin Hara on fish. So the Maisa, why wasn't he afraid of a bad month that it wouldn't be an Ayin Hara on Klal Yisrael? So he had the plan that the Medrash speaks about. He knew that if we sit and enjoy the Sugya of Achashverosh, we're going to lower our level. That alone will lower our level. But and Mamela will be Chas V'Shalom Choyte with his Chet. So he knew that there'll be an Ayin Hara on us. We're going to ruin ourselves. We lose our Shmira when we do these things. So what's the godless of fish, says Rabbi Elikur Dessler. Excuse me for a moment. So I just want to not miss his words. Sorry, just I'm curious. He says, "Bein poyrus Yosef, bein poyrus aleyoyin." The fact that Yosef is compared to a fish, the idea of the fish is the fish has no desire for what's not in its world. It had no desire to go out of the water. It says the Medrash about Yosef, another Medrash on this pasuk, Bein Peres Yosef, Ayin Shaloi Rotzeh Salozn Mimasha Ena Shaloi. Yosef's eye, he didn't want his eye to feed itself on what wasn't his. Now, he didn't say about Potiphar's wife, she's an erevah. He said, it's not mine. You belong to your husband, he told her. I'm not looking at you. He wouldn't open his eyes to look at what wasn't his. My wife will be my wife. You are not my wife. You should know that when I don't shake hands with women at times, wherever I am, different places, women go out there, oh, pleasure to meet you, Rabbi. You know, so I don't tell them, we don't shake hands with women. I never tell them the negative. And they'll, you know, well, why not? You know, then you can have a whole discussion. I never say that. I say we only touch our own wives. That always gets either just a respect or that saying, wow, that's nice. Really. Because in today's world, the women understand that it's a better way. That pshat, says the Medrash. We were learning until now about Yosef's ayin. He controlled his eyes. He didn't want to take in chet. The Medrash says much more than that. He didn't want to look at what wasn't his. He doesn't want to have the yetzer to have what's not his. It's not mine. Shein shaloi, all these princesses walking on the wall, they're not mine. The one read me a shidduch, and maybe it's going to be mine, and I'm a chuyiv to look at the halach. Do you see her? Okay. But right now it's not mine. So such a person says the Medrash. And that's where he's like fish. Ayin shaloi rotzis olos mashenish shaloi ein ayin haro shalotis. He says, and v'yidgul roiv b'kerev ha'aretz madogim shebiyam. The fish of the yam, mayim achas noisom. The water covers them. They ayin hara shalotis behem. Because no ayin hara can be shalot on someone who doesn't have an ayin hara on somebody else. If a person is a person that is sameach b'chelka, the whole first Torah of Sivish Shalom on Purim, if you have that pamphlet on Purim, is about sameach, that he says, what's this amar b'simcha? Sameach b'chelkoi. In Ruchnias and Gashmias. I'm telling you, as a Talmud, I was an average Talmud, basically. You know, I had the nisyon of being sandwiched in my family between two brilliant children. And I, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds on the test, and I was like, you know, somewhere in the 80s for a while. I managed to push a 90, you know, eventually working hard. It's not so poshut. But it's not so poshut. I remember sitting in the class, Masoma Kane, a bacher who figured the Pnei Yeshua's kasha by himself. He was able to be mechavan to something, and it wasn't part of me. And I said, I wish I could do that. But as I grew older, I realized, poshut from Pirkei Avos, that's not what it's all about. It's about doing your best. Really, my mother, Lash Shalim, once I was already married and older and looking back on life, I realized what a tremendous mechanechas she was. Without all the training that I took, with her own wisdom, she was a mechanechas. I don't think she ever, ever, ever hung up anyone's test paper in the house. I never saw the marks, my brothers and sisters' grades. Never saw the marks. So that I never had that kind of pressure. And when I came home and I would say, ugh, look at my report card. You know, the marks aren't good. Some other mother would say, who cares about this side of the report card? This is not what counts. This is what counts. Handot, getting along with others, effort. You do your best. Whatever you get is good enough. Just do your best. This has to all be the best aleph or ayin. Handot, getting along with others, effort. You have to put the most effort. You get a 50, you get a 60, you get an 80, whatever you get. That's all that counts. And then by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what counts. Onu amelim u'mekabel b'schar. Our whole schar comes from amelus. You'll sit next to the biggest billionaire. Next to Aaron Kotler, Lossig Lovoy. She lived 120 years, everybody. But Lossig Lovoy is next to the biggest gedolim in Mitzvah if you put forth the same effort. Adarab, I heard a maise from one of the fundraisers at Lakewood. You can't believe this maise. He's not alive anymore. When he was 80 or so, he told me the maise. And he said that he sat as a younger man right across from Rav Aaron in the Lakewood based Medrash. And there was no air conditioning in those days. It was Tammuz, before Ben Hasmanin. And they invited Eliel Apian Zichron Levracha to say a shmuz for the whole Lakewood. So he said this to me, so it was dripping hot, no air conditioning, packed base medrash. And Rav Elia was already an Elter Yid. He was dripping with sweat. So Rav Aaron was sitting by his chair. If anybody goes to the lake, whatever, the Mishnah Masudah will come here. Mashiach will come, hopefully before Ben Azmanim. So you'll see Rav Aaron's chair is still with a gate around it near the Aron Kodesh in the first building. So he said, Rav Aaron leaned over and to look at Rav Elia, and he said, Efshid Mashgiach Vozich Opruin. Maybe the Mashiach wants to rest a little bit, you know, and then finish the Shmuz, because he was dripping. So Rav Elia looked back at Rav Aaron, and he said, Odom lo omol yulod. That's how the Mashulah said it over to me. Lo omol yulod. And he went back to his Shmuz. The man said to me, I saw Rav Aaron put his head down on the edge of his tender, and tears started to run down his face. He said, I watched a puddle form on the wooden floor. He was crying so much. He says, Rav Elia noticed it. And he stopped and he said to the Rosh Hashanah, was it b'chizok? What would I say? So Rav Aaron picked up his head. He said, you said, Adam lo omol yulot. Ich weiß nicht, was das ist. I don't know what it means to work hard. He was a brilliant person. He remembered everything. It didn't come hard to him. He was crying. Of course he was Omel. He was such an Onov. That's how he became Rav Aaron. Because he used his brilliance to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Of course he was Omel. But he felt it came so easy. That when he heard those three words, the whole Musa Shmuz, who knows what it was about. He was like, whole Musa Shmuz. And Rav Aaron was doing very well with the Musa Shmuz. But he said those three words, unbelievable, and Rav Aaron cried. He didn't know. So that's because that's the key. So, says Rav Dessler, the godless of the fish is what it says about Yosef, the only way they match. If the real reason there's no ayin hara on fish is because they're covered, and it's never hasomui min ha'ayin. Like people who are afraid of ayin hara don't tell how many kids they have, how their parnasa is. They're afraid of ayin hara. They only have to be afraid of ayin hara if their eye is on somebody else as well. If they don't look at anybody else, if they're happy in their world, and they do the best in their world, nobody else's ayin hara can have an effect on them. That's the godless of the fish. Yes, there's a mechitza, says Rav Dessler. He says, Ma dogim shebiyam, mayim mechasim ha'som b'ein ha'shodism. He quotes the Rashi. He says, these fish, yesh b'hem shnei inyonim, they have two ideas. Heim mechusim min ho'ayin, they're hard to see under the water. We can see them swimming around, but they're not easy to see, and that's a good thing, not to show off. Not to flaunt what you have is a good thing. But they live in their own world. Like they're not in our world. I'll give you a real example that I believe is a strong example. No one asked me my opinion, and I'm not interested in being in the government. But to me, this whole idea of spending billions of dollars going into outer space, to the moon, bringing back rocks, studying Mars, we have a pasuk in Tehillim. Hashomayim shomayim lashim. V'ha'ores nosan levnei adam. Spend the billions on people. Give more for poor people, for education. Beautify the country a little bit better. Make it a place where you have more yeshiva das, nicer trees, more flowers. You know, take care of earth. And I'll tell you, Mr. Meister happened to me 2 years ago on the way here. I was sitting next to a reformed couple. They're sitting on my left. It was in a 747, you know, where you have four across in the center aisle. So the two people on my left, a couple from a reformed temple. The whole temple, a large group, was coming here for a fact-finding mission. I don't know what facts, they didn't tell me why. But they come, you see it by the coastal sometimes. They come, big missions come together. They mean well, they're good people. Mamish, you know, good people. They don't know better. But I generally don't daven with a minyan when I come here on the plane, because I feel it's not a kiddush Hashem to wake people up at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you want to daven shachar with a minyan. I traveled this time on Rosh Chodesh. It was very hard to daven halal and Musaf sitting in my seat when there was mamash. I saw a crowded minyan up ahead. But I said to myself, I can't. You know, there are so many chilonim. The biggest chil Hashem is for other Jews. The fact that there are goyim on the plane is also a chil Hashem if you bother them. But much more of yidden think that from a yidden don't care about them. It's scary. So it was really hard. I'm telling you, I stood up at one point, maybe they're pretty quiet, not making noise. And I said, no, I can't do it. And I sat down to daven. But this fact-finding mission, everybody stood up in their seats, and they davened shachris. And the chazonit was wearing a talis and tefillin and a colored yarmulke, and she led the prayers. And when they finished davening, my neighbor sat down next to me, a man, and he said to me, are you angry at us? I said, why would I be angry? because you don't agree with a female rabbi. This is our rabbi who led us in the services. You're angry. I'm not angry at you. Why should I be angry at you? You're good people. You're going to get a big reward from Hashem, from God, for this prayer, because you're doing the best you can with what you know. I told him, you don't know the truth. I meant it. I said, your rabbi doesn't know. I'm sure she's a very nice woman. And she went to some seminary that didn't tell her the truth. It doesn't tell her what the laws are. Because this generation of reform rabbis is not like the first generation, you know, that learned in yeshivas. And oh, that once went to, I spent a whole day, one of my Ben Azman days, by a conservative rabbi who learned in my yeshiva. And I was worried about his neshama pasha. What's going to be with him? So I went to see him. I spent a couple of hours in his office explaining to him, where's your responsibility to all the congregants? You must turn this place Orthodox, or else you're in a lot of trouble. You're the rabbi. You learned in my yeshiva. You know what's right. You know, we went back and forth, and finally he told me the truth. You know what he said to me after 2 hours? He said, if you could match my salary, I would leave here today. That's what he told me. So what are you getting? Now you're going back, you know, more than 20 years ago. He said, my salary itself is $100,000. I have a 14-room home. That's parsonage, maid's quarters, and they pay for the maid, and 2 cars. Can you imagine? So I said to him, so you're selling your soul to the devil for money. You're telling me that I'm right, and if I could find you another job, you would leave. You know, that was the end. We parted, but at least I felt I did my job. We went to the seminary, but these rabbis in this generation, they don't know right from left. So he says to me, prove it to me. Prove it to me. So I said, give me your siddur. And I showed him our siddur by Kiddush Levona. You're going to say Kiddush Levona very soon, Mitzvah Hashem, for Chodesh Adar Beis. You're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need that Bakosha powerfully, as the Arab countries are in tremendous unrest right now, which my Rebbe, in the American Hamodia, they ran that article 2 weeks ago, Friday night. He said, by our Sheva Sachim, Rav Moshe Wolfson, that the way he looks at this tremendous unrest in country after country is that it's Purim time. And it's time for Haman to be toppled over. So we should daven very hard. It looks like Yishmael is having trouble in Shemayim. The Sar Shel Yishmael is having trouble up there. They're thinking of deposing him, because they're deposing leaders all over the place in their countries. So we should daven hard to depose the Sar Shel Yishmael so that we can have a Geula. My Rebbe says it's a very positive sign. But Lamaisal is danger to ourselves. So we say every month, Harini Roikid Kenegdich, I'm jumping towards you, we say to the Levana. I'm trying to jump, but any Yechalangarbach, I can't touch you. I can't reach you. Kach kol lo yuchlu kol oiva. So too, all my enemies shouldn't have the ability, l'goya bi l'roa, to touch me, to harm me. Shouldn't be able to touch me, to harm me. Just like I can't touch the Levana. That's a pretty big distance, ourselves and the Levana. That's how far, and we saw it. You're all too young to remember it, but those who are, you know, probably over 40 will remember it clearly. 1991, maybe 30 even, the Iraqi war, when 39 Scuds, Rahman al-Islam, was sent here by Saddam Hussein Yimach Shemoy to Eretz Yisrael. And one person passed away in Nebuch. One Nisham was also Choshev to us, but only one died from the Scud. There are pictures. You could buy a book put out by Esh HaTorah called Missiles, Masks, and Miracles. I came to Eretz Yisrael that summer, of pictures of 4-story stone and steel buildings all over in Ramat Gan area, even in Yerushalayim, they were flattened. Everybody, people were in them. They had to seal stuff in sealed rooms. They were afraid of chemical warfare. So as soon as the signs went off, people didn't run to a shelter. They ran into a sealed room and locked themselves in the room. And if a scud hit a house, bang, the house went down. And there are pictures of the people walking out, bleeding, a broken bone. No one died in any building. The man who died was on the road. He was hit by a piece of shrapnel from an exploding missile, not by the missile, and not from a building. Nobody in any building died. Yet, Nebuch, one scud, one alone, he sent to the Saudi Arabian, the American air base in Saudi Arabia. Nebuch, 28 American soldiers were killed in a moment from one missile. You have to think of that. That's Kach lo yuchlu kol oivei lingoya bilaro. They did touch us, but not the raw. There was no raw. They just had no shlita over us. And we say it every month. I said, and you don't say it. Look at your sinner. You know, they took it out.
When did the rabbis take it out, I told him? In 1969. Neil Armstrong was the first American astronaut to land on the moon, go out of the spaceship, and take rocks and bring it back and bring it down to Earth. So they said, we touched the moon. Take it out. Now, even if you touched the moon, we'd never take it out. Because we would just tell ourselves, we don't understand what that passage means. Not we'll take it out. We don't begin to fathom what these giants who wrote this mean. Because we see that they touched the moon. Like all the different Keatsim that are, either Daniel wrote, and where they pass by and Mashiach didn't come yet. We don't have a question on that. We don't understand what they wrote, that's all. One day we'll understand. We would never touch it. Because if we're not as great as the giants who wrote it, we don't take it out. But I'm going to ask you a question about your rabbis. Did Neil Armstrong ever touch the moon? Or did his grubby glove, full of oxygen from Earth, pick up those rocks? If he took off his glove, I asked these two people, would he have lived for 30 seconds? Is there atmosphere on the moon for a human to live? Would his hand have lasted 30 seconds if he took off his glove? Probably not. So did he touch the moon? Well, the rabbis took it out. So I rested my case. They didn't talk to me about that. The rest, they talked about other things, but not about the religion anymore. But the point is that it's Rachmanis, that the people are ignorant. Why do we want that world? What do I need the moon? We have Earth to worry about. But we are looking at things that aren't ours constantly. Dessler says that's the Indian of Dogin. They have no Havi Amina, that Earth is theirs. They told, that's what they can call the fox of Tipish, because they saw his Tipshus. We have trouble even where we live. We have a thought to go to someplace else. We have enough to take care of in our world. We're not thinking of another world. We have what to do with the world that we were given. So now we understand how Ayin Hara works and the protection of Ayin Hara. So Yosef HaTzadik, who the Lashon is, not it was Asur. He's not looking at what's not his. Whatever the Eibishter gave him, that's what he's working with. Like Devin Ezra says, the Moshel about Loisachmoy. Chemda is more than Kino. Kino is jealousy. Chemda is, I'm so jealous, I wish the other person didn't have it. So Devin Ezra is like a peasant wanting to marry the princess. He's got to be crazy. A regular peasant doesn't even think he'll marry the princess. That's not my world. The king won't look at me. He won't look at me. It's not my world. That's loisachmoy. You shouldn't even think about what your chaver has. Adrabah, maybe you want to have what he has, so make your own ishtadlus. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, it means you don't need it for your stage in life. The Eibishter is giving us each, in our stage in life, what we need. A bocher, this morning I spoke to a different yeshiva, he was so distressed because his yeshiva this year took on a certain bacher. They didn't realize that even though he was a good learner, he had a lot of difficulties in the munah. He subsequently left that yeshiva, and mamish is on the way, off the derech. He didn't look for help. Instead, he left the yeshiva when the yeshiva tried to work with him. He's not, we have to want to be helped, to be helped. He's not holding there yet. But this particular bacher who I spoke to this morning, he told me that since he's a sports chavrusa, and the bacher kept questioning him and telling him his questions, he told me that he is dizzy with questions. He says, and it's my own fault because I really was supposed to be in that yeshiva. And I chose to be in this yeshiva. I said, that's not true. He said, why did you choose this yeshiva? It's not your fault. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to have this on your stage. Because you only can say it's your fault if you made a bad choice. If the Eibishter gave you Bechira and you asked the Rebbe, you thought it through, you looked in Shulchan, whatever you did, and you made and you chose against your Rebbe. Like over here, Mordechai said, don't go to the party, and we went to the party. We were told not to go. Shulchan Aruch says, don't do this, and we did it. Then it's your responsibility. Why did you come to this yeshiva, where I'm finding you right here? He said, really, because I felt I would learn better there. That's not called bad mechira. It's not called bad mechira. It's something the Eibishter wants you to deal with in your life. And that's something we're meeting today. Because we're going to figure out how to help you, Bezer Hashem. But that's how it works. Well, we can't choose. So we can do our best for hishtadlus. If I see somebody else has something, I won't be jealous of it. I'll say, maybe I can get that, if I can. And if I can't, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels I don't need it for my way to serve him. Whether it's chokhmah, whether it's dollar bills, whatever it is, I have what I have to have, and they have what they have to have. That's the idea. So why don't the lion,
But why don't humans, in a different Rishon with our foxes, call the fox a tibish? Because we also look at worlds that aren't ours. Napoleon would have been quite safe if he would have stayed in his country and taken care of them, instead of dreaming of having the whole world. And the same with Alexander the Great, even though we use his name because he was very good to Klal Yisrael, Alexander Moiktev, you learn the Gemara in Tomit, he tried to take over the whole world until the ladies stopped him. And because he needed food, they brought out a golden bread, it says in the Gemara, because they thought if he wants the whole world, he must need a lot of money, he must eat gold. They really thought so. So they brought out a bread made of gold. He said, I'm hungry. I can't eat that. They said to him, you mean you eat regular bread? He said, of course. They said, then why do you want to take over the whole world? You need more money. You don't have enough for the rest of your life to eat regular bread. We thought you'd probably eat gold. Why don't you go home? And he did. So hold him out of there. And he put up a plaque by then that Mamish, they taught him Chochma. He didn't think of that. Hey, like, what am I doing with my life? I'm trying to get what's not mine. I have so much I can enjoy. If I understand that whatever I have in my life is what I need, even for family situations. Someone has this greatest situation in his family and someone has so much difficulty. I met a boy yesterday, I was misspelled. I told him, if I came to Israel just to meet him and get chizuk from him, a boy, a bacher, the 20-year-old bacher, I said, it was my whole trip just to get the chizuk from him. Because he asked me for an eitzah, but he first gave me the introduction of all the things he's gone through in the last few years. And it's just, you could sit down and cry, but he's not. His question was not about his next step in avodas Hashem. I said, to meet a bracha like you, who has gone through so much, and your question is not, Rebbe, I can't daven, I'm so upset. I can't learn, I'm so upset. It's rather, what's my next step? What do I do? He said, I'm just misspoiled. Before I answer you, I got to sit in his bailus and soak in the musashmus from the question. You know, but that's a person, he's not looking at anybody else's world. He's sitting in the yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael. He's learning the best as he can, you know, with his matzah. And he wants to know, tell me what to do next. You know, what do you think is, according to the situation, what's my next move? That helps us. So this teaches us that a person that his whole life, he is swimming in the sea of Torah. That's his water. That's where he belongs. And he doesn't have she'ifas for outside things that don't belong into his world. That's not part of our world. No matter what they're offering us in kashrus there, it's not our world. So Haman knew that about us. His idea was to entice us into a world that was not ours. And he temporarily succeeded. I tell the Bachar, I know that your parents all mean the best. They really do. Parents love their children. And their aunts and uncles love their nieces and nephews. And they mean the best. But if somebody for Hanukkah gives you a video iPod, either ask them, can I exchange it? Because it's a big Yetzirah to download videos from the internet. It's a big Yetzirah. It's not our world. It takes us away from our world. It doesn't allow us to swim in the sea of Torah. It confuses us. Or bring it to Orlando. That's our head of the cleaning staff. He'll give it to his children. Don't keep it. Get yourself an iPod just for music. Or an MP3 player, something else. Don't let yourself have the answer in your pocket, because someone's going to convince you, just this movie, just that movie. It's not so bad. Not so bad. You mean one slice of ham and a sandwich is okay, if the rest is about kosher cold guts? It's not that bad. It's just not. If it's a little bit bad, it's so bad. I had the cutest exchange, I said, 8th grade Rebbe. I begged the boys before Hanukkah. I said, I know your parents are taking you to the movies, I know they're going to take you, but not Hanukkah, I beg you. Hanukkah, we beat the Yevonim. The Yevonim's idol was the body. Hercules, they had other idols. It was all goof. The movies generally, two ways to entertain people today. Either they exploit the body, or they give you a lot of blood and murder and killing and horror. One of the two, or both. They also might combine both. But generally, there's no other way to entertain the people today, 95% of the films. So Hanukkah, at least Hanukkah, tell your parents, please don't take me. Let's do something else with a Hanukkah break. And parents called me through the years about it. Why did you tell my son, I'm taking the rest of the family, that he won't go? Well, I had it this year, Erev Thanksgiving. A boy who's not my yeshiva, but he's a graduate in a co-ed high school. But he was in camp with me. And he came to every Onik Shabbos and to every Shavuos on Friday, on Shabbos afternoon. And he promised himself, no matter what, he's not going to the movies anymore, not watching movies after camp. From August 23rd, no more. He calls me Erev Thanksgiving. He says, what should I do? I didn't watch a movie at all since we left camp. Like I made up, I would do. But my father is taking the whole family out tomorrow for Thanksgiving. to Harry Potter and dinner afterwards, Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant. And I told him I'm not going because I'm not watching movies anymore and I just don't want to go. And he said, come on, you loved all the first ones from Harry Potter. You're going to love this one too. You have to come with the family. So what should I do? He asked me. So I said to him, I don't know Harry Potter movies. What should I tell you? Is everybody very tzunua? Is it all men? You know, he says, no. He says, for sure not. I said, so you can't go. It's a Shulchan Aruch. I said, so you tell your father, Dad, I love you. You're the best. And you mean I should have a great time. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay home. You're going to call me when the movie's over. I'll take a cab and meet you for dinner. That's what you'll do. And he did it. But I mean, you know, it's not our world. That's the Zach. The parents mean well. They all mean well. But it's not our world. One last thing and then we'll close. It's such a murder good chat. Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, Admosai psoim tehevu pesi. How long are you fools going to be foolish? So Rabbi Yoina points out, the Pesach should read, and we have to answer the Egel. Take a minute though, to answer with the child of the Egel. It should say, Admosai b'nei odom tehevu pesi. Why psoim? People, how long will you be foolish? It's mashma that we start out being foolish. And like, it's okay. It's okay to start out being foolish. The shaila is, how long will you be foolish? That's what the Sarah said. It's not that you're supposed to be a fool and have people. It's just, leave the foolishness after a while. What does he mean? So Rabbeinu says like this, that the Pesach tells us, all the way back in Parshas Bereishis, by Cain and Hevel, V'yelecha tshukasoi, the Yetzahara wants you, but the Ata Timsholba, you have to rule over him, Hashem tells Cain, before he kills Hevel. Don't let him rule over you. If you let him in, you have to rule over him, though. You got to stop him. Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ram, and Urov, it says by during the Chumash. So the Yetzahara wants us to do things that we have no right to do. So what's the Pshat Ad Mosai to you, Pesi? We're bored Psoyim. How do you know? Watch a little baby. A one-year-old baby. I was just visiting an uncle yesterday, and his one-year-old great-grandchild was sitting there, and I told him this Tvat Torah on this Pasuk in Mishlei. He asked me for Tvat Torah. I told him it was in Mishlei. I said, and I just was telling him, Mamash, while I was telling it to him, his daughter, the grandmother of the baby, brought in a plate of chocolate cookies and soda. And I told him, Pshat is we're born a Pesi. When a one-year-old kid, for instance, grabs whatever it sees, your glasses off your face, your hat off your head, the tablecloth with all the lights still on it off the table if they can reach it. Really, every cookie, every cake, anything they grab, the mother's jewelry, anything. They want everything until they're old enough to understand what's theirs and what's not theirs. As I said this, the baby dropped his toy, ran over, grabbed two cookies, grabbed for the soda. Mamash, while I said it. And the great grandmother said, oh, look at that. That's what the baby's doing. So Shlomo Melech says, we're born. Why? Because we're foolish at a baby age. We don't have to say chel at the baby age. We're foolish. So Shlomo Melech, how long will you be a baby? How long will you try to grab for what's not yours? How long are you going to be a baby? And must I someday have a pesi? How long are you going to be a baby? Don't grab what's not yours. The problem with the egel was, avada, we had tremendous nesoyim. The Eibishter, we were on other Rishon's Madrega. So the Eibishter gave us a chance to surpass Adam HaRishon and gave us a test like Adam HaRishon, and we went for a world that we knew was not ours. We had just experienced Aseres HaDibros. So we heard L'sas L'chol Pesel L'chol Tumim. It wasn't something we didn't get in the Torah yet. We had a lot of over 600 new mitzvahs to get. Maybe 600 exactly. We still got a few before. But we had about 600 new mitzvahs to get, but we had L'sas L'chol Pesel already. And that was the big time. What are you going for a world that's not yours? You have no Rebbe. Moshe Ben is not here. You have a cheshen why he died. You have Aaron. Every generation has their G'dayim. They may not be as big as the Chofetz Chaim, going back as big as the Chassam Sofer, but every door has their leaders. You're going for a world that's not yours. You want an egel instead of a human? It's not your world. You just heard that on Har Sinai. That was the time. Learn from the fish. Get the bracha of the fish. Then no umma can be shailat on you. Then no danger can be shailat on you. And then you have a life of simcha be'ezer Hashem. So we should be zeichin, Hashem. You're in the most beautiful pond. It was a beautiful river where a bunch of fish swimming in the Yama Taira. And there's a Zahara forever. The fox, the wily fox, stands out there and says, come here, come there, do this. Purim is coming. Maybe dress up in this way and make sure it's Sanuma. They try to make people, you know, because Purim, a lot of wear costumes. The whole idea, that was the answer to the Gemara, right? How come the continuity of that Gemara, the Talmid of Shubai Choy, they bow down to that Tzelem and Hashem forgave them? V'chimasu ponim yesh v'dover, says the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, shows favoritism, and when it says in the Torah, we deserve so terrible. Yorim v'al Yavar, and they wish to forgave us? And made v'nahapachu? Answer Shubai Choy, heim liyosu elo b'fonim. It was only a mask. The Yidin was just doing it fake. They didn't believe in the Avodah Zarah. They were scared of Levachat Netzar. So Hashem said, I'll also punish you fake. Hashem put on a mask of Haman. Scared us. We did tshuva. Hashem took off the mask. It was only me. And Haman hung with all his children. That's what it was. So forever, we wear masks on Purim. That's a Gemara. They also had a little fun. They did the fun on the face. They just put on a mask. They were scared of Levachat Netzar. They bowed down. They didn't mean to bow down. They didn't mean it, but they still have to get punished. They were afraid of a person over Hashem, or by Ahasuerus, afraid of Ahasuerus over Mordechai, who's the messenger of Hashem. V'aminu b'Hashem v'maisha avdo, Yamuna means Yamuna in Hashem and his messengers. V'maisha avdo. So we should be zoicha to continue enjoying your swim, Bezer Hashem, in the Yama Torah. And as the fox, the Yitzhahara, comes in our door, and every door he comes and says, come out on my land. Hey, your fathers did it. Why can't you do it? We have to tell them, Tittish, we have no part in your world. It's not our world. We don't want to have a part in your world. It's not ours. And if we do that, we'll be marbin besimcha, because we'll look towards the Geula. Yes, the 1/5 of the Yidden who know about Hashem will bring the Geula, and our 80% will come along with us, Bezer Hashem. We daven for it every day in Kaddish, and we wait for that day that there'll be zoicha to know about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And hopefully, Mitz Hashem, it'll come before Purim. So you could lay, you're here, you're going to anyhow lay the Megillah on Tesvav. But we should be Zeicha, maybe, are you going to? Yeah. But we should be Zeicha to lay them with you, all of us, and instead of any of you using your tickets to come back to your families on Pesach, hopefully your families will all come here to be with you. And I'll be Zeicha to see you again that soon, hopefully, Mitz Hashem. As we're Zeicha to lay Yehudin, Hayesa, Ayra, Vesimcha, Vesasa, Vikara, Ketia. Thank you. Thank you.